I want you to look at a word in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 20. It says, "For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes, therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God." I hope we really believe that. As many as the promises, and I don't know how many promises there are in the Bible, but as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. It's not yes or no. It's yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And that's not what I'm speaking on. What I want you to see is verses 21 and 22. Now here is something that we have to say yes to and believe. It says, "He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge," as a down payment. And I want to share with you this morning the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is God's seal of ownership on our life, on your life and mine. That's why we speak so much about the Holy Spirit, because the Bible speaks so much about the Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Trinity. He's not a force, he's not a wind, he's not something not tangible. He's a person, the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. And I was so blessed to hear my little grandson. They were having some discussion in the family about the Holy Spirit. And I think one of them said, he said something about the Holy Spirit. And one of them said, "What do you know about the Holy Spirit?" And he replied, "The Holy Spirit is a person. Praise the Lord, a four-year-old child. The Holy Spirit is a person out of the mouth of infants and babes comes God's praise." And I hope you believe that too. The Holy Spirit is a person who has come in the place of Jesus in the world. Jesus can't be everywhere. That's why he said, "It's necessary I go away. But when I go, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." And we read here that he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, as a down payment. You know, in years gone by, I think they still use it, you know, sealing wax and seals, you know, to put onto a document or a parcel or something that had to be sent. And when they put that seal, it was a guarantee that that would reach its destination. And you know, and see kings even recently wear a ring to press their insignia. They wear a ring on their right hand or left hand, whatever it is. And there's an insignia there. And even in the Bible, we see the kings had that ring there. And that was authority that had power, that when they put it on, whether it was hot wax or whatever it is, to seal something. And you've seen cattle, sheep particularly, cattle have a mark that's been branded, you know, onto their backs, which signifies that that sheep, that ox, or that donkey, or that horse belongs to somebody. And that has been branded on their backs. It says here in the Living Bible, in 2 Corinthians 1:22, He has put His brand upon us, His mark of ownership, and given us His Holy Spirit in our hearts as guarantee that we belong to Him. Isn't that wonderful? Much greater, more powerful than any seal that is put on any document or anything. Much more powerful, with more authority. There's a seal that God puts on us when He gives us the Holy Spirit. And that's how important the Holy Spirit is. This church, 48 years ago, next month it's going to make 48 years, was born of the Holy Spirit. We have no doubt about that. It was not started by man, not started by Brother Zach and me, or we didn't get some bright idea, let's start a church. It was started by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're here today, 48 years later. We were just six, seven families. And today, the message of the New Covenant is spread all over India, all over the world. That's the vision that God gave Brother Zach. And so we're not just gathering here, you know, the people gather just because of Brother Zach and because of his messages, which are so powerful and which are full of things we have not heard in the churches that maybe we once belonged to. I don't know if you realize that, but I've been with many churches. You know, I got converted in, I was with the Brethren, and I thank God for them because I got the word from them and the Brethren, and then I used to look for reality in the Pentecostal church. I was with the CSI first when I was unconverted and Anglican, and then the Baptist church, and I've never heard the things that we have heard here in CFC for 48 years. Some of the things changed my life, not only changed but revolutionized my life, and particularly this truth that I'm sharing with you. I know 56 years ago, when the Lord sought after me, when I came to repentance and faith in Him and turned to Him, surrendered my life to Him, and a few months later was baptized in the Holy Spirit, God put a seal on me, His seal of ownership. I hope you believe that, those of you who are born again. If you're not born again, I want to say to you, my dear friend, repent. These are the last days. Repent so that you can be part of God's family. You cannot come in automatically, even if you belong to CFC. You have to have that seal of ownership. You can't come in to God's kingdom and believe that coming to CFC, and getting your name up on that list, that you're going to somehow or the other be permitted there. You have to have that brand of ownership. And I want to say to those of you who are born again, I want to say to those of you who repented of your sins, how important, how much importance have you given to the truths we read in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? It's an insult to Him that when we come together here, we don't give Him His due importance, His due place. It's an insult to Him if after receiving forgiveness of sins and being cleansed in the blood of Jesus, you don't receive that brand mark. Paul, when he went to when he's passing through Ephesus, he found some disciples. Acts chapter 19. We won't look at it now, but sometime you can see it. He probably went to a prayer meeting or the gathering of them, and he found something missing there. And he asked them, maybe turn there. I'd like you to see that, Acts chapter 19. We've heard it before, it's nothing new. But for those of you who are new, I just want you to see that, Acts chapter 19. Verse 1, it happened that while Apollos, Acts 19, 1, was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Listen to this. And this is what he said to them. The first question he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why did he ask them that question? He sensed something missing. And they were truthful. They said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So they had an excuse. They had not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And then he asked them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And John indeed, you know, baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not just in the name of the Lord Jesus. As Jesus commanded, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And they were in all about 12 men. Apollos had just before Paul been there. But then, I don't have time to show it to you, but then Priscilla and Aquila had to take him aside to teach him accurately the way of the Lord. And perhaps it was the absence of the Holy Spirit in his teaching. So if you go through the New Testament, you will see how much importance is given to the Holy Spirit. And that is why if you've been coming to this church, even for a couple of months, there would at least once you would hear the importance. That is why the elders speak with you. Just not only to make sure that you're born again and you want to be baptized in water, that's good. But whether you also believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is God's seal, my brothers and sisters. And we are told very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22-22. And you may have heard this so many times, but you just let it pass. You don't give importance. You don't, after you hear a message, you just go home and go carry on with life. And I want to say to you, have you received God's brand mark? Because His brand mark is His mark of ownership, that God owns you. And that, you know, we're not cattle. We are people. The Holy Spirit is a person. And He comes to live in us and He comes to anoint us. Anointing is for ministry. A seal is for ownership. We all need to be sealed. And those whom God calls, He anoints. When you have to share a word, you need the anointing. But God's seal must be on you. I hope you see it. It says there very clearly, He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. And I want to ask you, every one of us sitting here, if you're not born again, but that's where you have to begin. You have to come in through the door. You have to repent of your sins and believe in the price that Jesus has paid for you on the cross and the blood that is shed for you that cleanses you from all your past sin. That's where you begin. But when you come in, you receive the Holy Spirit. You have to ask God to anoint you, to seal you with His Holy Spirit, put His brand mark on you so that God looks at you and says to you, "You're mine. I put my brand mark on you. I've given you my Holy Spirit." And we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed," here it is again, "you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." After having believed, that is after receiving, it says, listening to the message of truth, the gospel, and repenting, and receiving salvation, receiving the forgiveness of sins, you believed and you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So it's mandatory, it's not optional, my dear brothers and sisters. And just wanting your name up on a list, what does it mean to you? Is that all that you're seeking for? You want your name on a church list. That's most churches, that's all it amounts to. Or they are recognized as members of the church. They're not sealed. And many of them are going to wake up. Perhaps many here are going to wake up with a shock. You don't have God's seal of ownership on you. That Jesus has to say, "I don't know you." We read that there. And there are people who are going to say, "Lord, we preached in the streets. We prophesied. We healed people in your name. We did miracles in your name." And the Lord says, "I don't know you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity." Because God's seal of ownership, the Holy Spirit, will change your life and mine. And I know what it has done to me. Why is it I chose CFC among all the other churches that they were after I was converted? Not for anything else. Not because they don't preach tithing. We never preached tithing right from the very beginning. We never took a salary. None of these things. But I wanted the Holy Spirit, because He alone could change my life, not CFC. And I want to say to you, if you're coming to CFC to think your life is going to be changed, be disappointed. But if you come to CFC and hear about what I'm just saying, about the Holy Spirit who can come into you, come upon you, and make you a different man and a different woman, and that you can grow and become more like Jesus, because that's what He does, then you're in the right place. So that's what it says here. In Ephesians 1:13, "You are sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of your inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. You know that God's seal on us here in our earthly life, one day these bodies are going to be redeemed. And only those who have God's seal, listen to this, only those who have God's seal upon them, only those who have God's brand mark upon them will one day have resurrection bodies. The rest will have to stand before the judgment throne. But those who have God's brand mark upon them, one day very soon, we will have the same body that Jesus has. We'll have beautiful resurrection bodies that will never die. And we'll be together with the saints who have also received that brand mark in heaven. Those who have gone before us. So, in the Living Bible it says, the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us. It's not just that, you know, He gathered people here and there, that He looked for some. We're not some blue-eyed boys and blue-eyed girls. God suddenly chose, oh, I want this one, I want that one. No. He paid a price for you and me. And because of that price, that we believed in Him, that He brought us into His fold, where He gave us the grace to repent and turn to Him for the forgiveness of sins. And He claimed us as His own and then put His brand mark. So the Living Bible says the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us and that He guarantees to bring us to Himself. That's the guarantee we have. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But like I just said, a lot of people are going to be turned away because they don't have God's brand mark upon them. They don't have God's seal. They did not first receive the forgiveness of sins. They were not born again. They went to some church. They liked the singing. They enjoyed the singing and all the excitement that some churches can give you and all the good preaching. But they just went on. Their lives never changed. They never wanted their lives to change. They just wanted to come for a Sunday meeting. They wanted to get into some Christian activity. They were never belonged to God and never will. So I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, make sure first of all that you've truly repented of your sins. Every one of you sitting here, the days are very short. The coming of the Lord is very near. And if you've never repented of your sins, get help quickly. There are brothers here and sisters here who can help you to come to repentance, to really help you to turn from your sins. There's nothing you have to do, no penance. No, you don't have to put money in the box. You don't have to feed the poor. God says, only acknowledge your sin. That's all. Acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you need to repent, you need God's forgiveness, you need to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus, and then you need God to put His brand mark on you. And I want to say to you, many of you sitting here, you've heard this again and again, but yes, you're satisfied coming to this church and you're more satisfied in seeing your name up on the list. But I tell you, with all the names that are on the list, I don't know how many of there are. I don't know how many really belong to God. That God should say, this is mine. That's my brand mark. They have my seal. They have the Holy Spirit. That's what you should be seeking for. Not just some or the other get your name up there and now, yeah, I'm okay. I'm in a church where I can get my children married and I can and I have a place where they will one day bury me. Like Brother Charles said, hatch, match and dispatch. Most churches, that's all it is. They dedicate their children, they get their children married, and then they're dispatched. Some place where you can be hatched, matched and dispatched. CFC is not such a church. We want people who are wanting to belong to God, who want to seek God, who want God's brand mark upon them. And I want you to really take this word seriously. It'll come up to you, if you've not, on the day of judgment. That He who has sealed us, what we read in the beginning, as many as the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And He who establishes us with you in Christ, anointed us as God, who also sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, a down payment. There's more to come. And I tell you, 56 years ago, and how much I have received. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And these are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. You see the importance. I want to encourage you, as you read the Bible, as you seek to study it, see how much the Holy Spirit does for us. And without the Holy Spirit, we are beggars. You come to CFC and you can come here regularly, you can come to the meetings on time, but you're a beggar. Because you're not being sealed by God. There's no ownership upon you. So I want to urge you to take this seriously, my brothers and sisters. For those of us who have been sealed by God with the Holy Spirit, the good news is that the devil cannot touch us. And people cannot make trouble for us. There's a word which says that he who touches you, touches the apple of my eye, sticks his finger in God's eye. You're God's treasure. God protects you in your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever we go, and whatever may happen, in whichever country we are, God protects us because God's seal is upon us. And you see to it that He protects His own. And one day, it's a guarantee, it says, that He will bring us to Himself. So having been sealed by the Holy Spirit, you know, we are asked, that we are commanded, that we do not ask, we are commanded that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom it says you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. We turn to that verse. It's the second thing I wanted to say. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There's the word again. You were sealed for the day of redemption. God has put your seal for that day when our redemption is going to be complete. These bodies will be redeemed, these corruptible bodies which go into the grave and turn into dust will one day be resurrected and changed. Our redemption will be complete. Or if we are alive, then when we meet Jesus, we'll be changed, it says, in a twinkling of an eye. And we are commanded here, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is a very sensitive person. He's a wonderful companion and friend, and I found that. A wonderful companion and friend who comes alongside us to help us, to encourage us. And He's within us to prompt us, to keep us from sin, Like I said, he's a person, and you can know him as a person. Just like Jesus, they knew Jesus as a person when he was there 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, sending you somebody just like me, who will come, who will be in you, who will come alongside you. And because he's such a sensitive person, he makes us sensitive to his promptings, if we will let him. Sensitive to sin, as Jesus was sensitive to sin. That's why he came upon Jesus as a dove. A dove is a very gentle, tender, humble bird. He came upon Jesus as a dove because Jesus lived his life those 30 years so sensitive to sin, so sensitive to the Father, that all his desire was to please the Father in everything. Till he finished his life on the earth, he never committed a sin. He pleased the Father, even going the last mile when he was tempted, you know, to give up and do his will. Father, is there some other way? But there was no other way. If you and I were to belong to God's family, if you and I were to be sealed by God, that was the only way. Jesus had to pay that price. And we have heard it before. When Brother Zach, he saw your face and my face. All of you sitting here who he wants to redeem and make his own. And that's why he said, Father, not my will, let your will be done. He drank the cup, he drank it to the dregs. And that's why the Holy Spirit could sit on him like a dove. Because he was sensitive to sin, sensitive to doing the Father's will. And the Father could say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, how I long that that could be said. I don't have to wait till the last. Right now in this earthly life, my dear brothers and sisters, if God could say of you and me, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And that can be true if you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When he came into the world, he came as tongues of fire, not as a dove. Because Jesus said that when he comes into the world, he convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. So when he came into the world, on that first day at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church began with that 120, we read in Acts when they were gathered there together. He didn't come as a dove, but he came as a fire, as tongues of fire, not as a sheet of fire, you know, blanket of fire, but tongues of fire that sat upon each one of them. And that's how we receive him. And he sat upon the heads of each one of the 120 gathered that day. Why not, you know, I thought, why not we think, why didn't he come as eyes of fire? Sometimes we read, why didn't he come as feet of fire or hands of fire? Why tongues? Because as we see from God's word, he wants all of us, our complete bodies, and the tongue is an important member in our bodies. And those gathered together, you and me, need that cleansing fire that will cleanse our hearts and our tongues first, just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the glory of Jesus. You don't need to look at it now, but when he saw the the glory of Jesus. He cried out, the glory of God. He said, woe is me, I'm ruined, for a man, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Then one of the seraphim flew and took a burning hot coal from the altar with the tongs and touched his lips, and his iniquity was taken away and his lips were cleansed. How do you know? How do you and I know that the Holy Spirit has come upon us? Many ask, how can I know? I can know because as He came upon those disciples, the early church, He came as tongues of fire, I would begin to see Him. My speech change. I can testify to you, my speech radically changed when I was converted, when I gave my heart to the Lord. I repented with all of my heart. I was using lying, vulgar language. I was using abusive language. I was on the railways and that's how everybody spoke. I tell you, it just disappeared overnight. I could not use such words after giving my heart to Jesus. That's where it begins. It began for me with my tongue. I could not use those abusive words, bad language. That's how everybody spoke in the railways. That's how you know. That's the first thing. Otherwise you deceive yourself, my brother, because that's where He begins. He came as tongues of fire. And if we can't learn to speak graciously with our mother tongue, what's the use of speaking in other tongues? And I can testify that's where He began the change in my life. He began with my tongue. That's how you know. Many of you have asked, how do I know I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit? You will know. Your speech will change. You will not use the words. You will not use the language. You can't say, yeah, maybe you may accidentally slip up, but immediately you repent. But I can't think of any time when I slipped up and went back using the language that I use. I'm getting angry and abusive. It changed. There was a change, and it didn't happen overnight. But this happened overnight, I could say. The bad language and the vulgar language I use changed overnight. I stopped using it, not just when I went to church, but even when I went on duty, I stopped using such words. And those around me wondered what happened. They saw the change in other things. There were a lot of other things that changed outwardly, bad habits that I had. That's how we know. We're not left in doubt. And just like it happened with Isaiah, when he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Have you said that to the Lord? Lord, I'm a man, I'm a woman of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And the Lord is ready, the Holy Spirit is ready to cleanse your lips, my brothers and sisters. And when my tongue is set on fire by Him, the opposite of what the Holy Spirit describes in James chapter 3 verse 6. James chapter 3, you can turn to it now. And that's a word that you can look at often. It talks about so much about the tongue. James chapter 3, it says the tongue is a world of fire. You know, let me get there. It says, tongue is a, verse 5. It says, tongue is a small part of the body and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. And you read before that, it says, we, in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. If I know how to control my tongue, and I can't do it in my strength, but the Holy Spirit will, if I receive the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit, then from my tongue, I'll be able to control my whole body as well. Everything. This is where he begins. That's the door to our lives, my brothers and sisters. It says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. You say, no, that's impossible. This is God's word. You can become a perfect man, a perfect woman, able to bridle the whole body as well. So if I allow the Holy Spirit entrance into my life, He comes upon me, not just to make me speak in tongues, He begins to cleanse my speech and then everything else, my thoughts, my eyes, everything comes into this cleansing. And if I'm to paraphrase verse 6, the opposite, when he comes into my life, the opposite of what is described there will happen. The tongue becomes a gentle, listen to it, this is my paraphrase. The tongue becomes a gentle, gracious member of our body, warming my own heart and the hearts of others with gracious words. I am paraphrasing verse 6, the opposite of what we read there. When my tongue is let loose and I have no control over it. This is the opposite. This is what he will do. I'll warm the hearts of others with gracious words of love and kindness and encouragement because it has been controlled and tamed by the Holy Spirit to fill my whole life wholly only with goodness, which will blaze the path before me with grace, leaving back a trail of goodness and mercy that follow me wherever I go all the days of my life, blessing and praising God, not cursing like it says there, blessing and praising God and blessing men, my life becoming a fresh water fountain of overflowing as rivers of living water to quench the thirsting hearts of others. It is not blessing and cursing. I come on Sunday and I bless God and I praise Him. And during the week, I'm using my tongue as I like. You know, cursing and with all the language. I'm not in CFC, you know. I look around to see, no, nobody from CFC is near me. So I can use my tongue as I like. You don't have God's ownership. You don't belong to God, my brothers and sisters. That's why I say, seek for that seal, the genuine seal upon you. The Holy Spirit, He'll change your life. He'll begin with your tongue. And from there, every other part of your body will come under His control. And like it says there, we'll leave back a trail of goodness and mercy that will follow me wherever I go all the days of my life. Not blessing and cursing. Blessing and praising God. Not blessing and cursing, because he says that James says, a very practical man, it cannot be. Can a fountain give forth sweet water and bitter water? It's not possible. But there will be a fresh water fountain that will give forth sweet water, overflowing as rivers of living water, like Jesus cried out and said, if any man is thirsty for this life, Let him come to me and drink. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, and it will flow from my tongue. Where else can it flow from? Do you believe that? Do you believe the scriptures? I believe that. I'm not preaching to you something that is not real in my life. And I see that what the Lord has done ever since I came into CFC through the years. Because I came to CFC not just because of Brother Zach. I came to CFC because I found Jesus. I found the truth. I found that here is where I will receive what I need to receive, not to get to heaven, but to be changed. The Holy Spirit came upon me and changed me, and He's never stopped changing me ever since. Even after my beloved wife has gone, He's still changing me and changing me in such wonderful ways that I get more revelation of Jesus than I ever got before. And I've been brought closer to Him. I went through a time when my faith was shaken. And it was not easy. But He brought me through it. He was there. And I'll never forget the day, He said, when I, in battling loneliness, and that is the biggest battle I had to face, and those of you who lost a spouse, you know it. You can identify with that. And I was listening to a preacher, you know, who had not lost his spouse, but speaking about loneliness. Loneliness can be a big battle. But I see that when you have God's stamp of approval on you, He has given you the Holy Spirit, and He's waiting there to come alongside you to help you in your loneliness. And that's what He does. And that you can find. And I'll never forget the day when this battle I was fighting, and I said, Lord, I'm so lonely. And then it was as much as being audible, I heard the voice in my ears, I'm here for you. That's all you need. I knew that was the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm here for you, and that's all you need. Not just when we lose a loved one, or when we are lonely, but when we are fighting temptation, I'm here for you. You only need to call on Him. And then He comes alongside us to help us. That's what He is. The one who comes alongside to help you and me. And then we find that He begins to take over. I don't need to strive and struggle. He takes over every area of my life as you open up room by room. You're struggling with bad thoughts. You're struggling with pornography. You're struggling with the lust of the eyes. Open those rooms up. Open it up. And you'll find what He does. He'll clean up. You don't have to do it. He'll help you to clean up. Like we get our children to clean up, that put their toys together and clean up the room. I hope you teach your children that. And you say, come now, I'll help you. And that's what the Holy Spirit says. When there's a big mess there, come, I will help you clean up this mess. And like I said, you know, we know that He's with us when my speech becomes more and more gracious. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen. That's why it says in Colossians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. I'm reading Colossians 5 and 6 from the Message Bible. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is bring out the best in others. Listen to this. Not to win an argument. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down. And not cut them out. Isn't that wonderful? If that can be my goal, you know, not try to win an argument, not try to prove my point, bring out the best in others. I don't know, in this last week, when I didn't say anything wrong, but in a conversation, after the conversation, I felt, you know, the Lord say to me through the Holy Spirit, you know, you made that person feel a little inferior because you knew more. And I had to repent of that. If we are in touch with the Holy Spirit, you know, we may know more, we may know a subject, but we don't use what we know to put down somebody. Bring out the best, and I like what the Message Bible says, bring out the best in others in a conversation. Listen to this. The goal is bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not show that you're more spiritual, you have more light. Maybe you do. But here's one who's struggling, who's really, you know, expressing themselves. Don't try to make them feel inferior. Bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down, not cut them out. So, I pray that we would take that to heart and, you know, it tells us in Ephesians 4, verses 25, 29. Ephesians 4, here again, you know, read it the other way. When we have laid aside or finished with falsehood, I'm speaking about not grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, we lay aside and finish with falsehood, Ephesians 24. Ephesians 4, 25 to 29. Laying aside all falsehood, this grey lies, white lies, black lies, whatever colour lies, all lying. We speak truth to one another. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. If I continue doing these things described there, I'm grieving Him, I'm making Him sad by the way I'm living. And getting angry and sinning. He says that be angry and don't sin. We are angry with all the corruption and unrighteousness around. But we have to be angry and don't sin. And in the home, if anything happens, if I'm angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And you give the devil much opportunity. Stealing, they should not be stealing. You steal office time. You steal materials from the office. And it says, work with your hands with what is good so that we'll have something to share with one who has need. And we don't speak unwholesome words. There again, it has to do with the tongue. You know, from our mouths, our words should be good, which is for edification according to the need at the moment, to give grace to those who hear. Grace must flow from our lips. Stop being mean and bad-tempered and angry, quarreling, harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. This is how we stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. And it says, you know, in the paraphrase, don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who marks you to be present on the day when salvation from sin will be complete. And if we yield to Him, one last word there. It says, you know, then we are not only sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are empowered by Him. You shall receive power, Jesus said, not to speak in tongues, but to be my witnesses. And this is a word that we can always be encouraged by. 2 Corinthians 4:7. God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is my favorite word. And I don't just say favorite word, but this is what I experience, not just once and for all, but you can experience it every day, that God shines in your heart, the darkness, as you open the doors of every room in your life, light comes in. God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, the one who has shone in our hearts. And I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, has He shone in your heart in every area? Are there little rooms that you've locked up? Then in that area, you're going to continue to stumble. You'll never become a perfect man and a perfect woman. And particularly in the area of speech. So God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. That is the wonderful thing. The surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. It's not me. You look back on your life and say, that's not me. That's what God has done. And it says in the Message Bible, very beautifully put, it's unadorned clay pots of ordinary lives. This power that we receive in unadorned clay pots of ordinary lives to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. That's a Message Bible paraphrase. To prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. And the Living Bible says, but this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in a perishable container that is our weak bodies. Everybody can see that the glorious power within must be from God and not from our own. So that's what I want to leave with you, my brothers and sisters. That's the good news. I don't have to struggle and strive. I have received this power within me. We can be sealed, and God who has shone right in the beginning, light shines in the darkness, has shone in my heart to give me the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I have this treasure in an earthen vessel, in a clay pot, so that God's power is manifested through our lives. We are living in days as we approach the end where there's going to be a form of godliness without the power. And so we need to wake up and really see whether we have God's brand mark on us, whether God has sealed us, seal me. Not just that I have a ticket to heaven because I repented of my sins and I've been forgiven. But I want God's seal. I want the Holy Spirit. That's how we cried out to God 48 years ago. And that cry has never ceased, at least not in mine. And every day I pray that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, you will see the change in your life. It will begin with your speech. And it will begin with you being able to love others and stop bearing grudges and resentment. These are the two marks. Many of you have asked, how do I know? This is the way. I've shown you clearly, this is in Scripture. You'll know from your speech, you'll know whether you hold grudges and resentment in your heart against anybody. Don't say, I don't have anything in my heart. That's dangerous. You should have something. You either have a grudge and resentment or you have the love of God that is poured into our hearts. Romans 5:5 by the Holy Spirit. There again, we see what the Holy Spirit does. We are not disappointed. The love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I want to I want to leave that with you. You don't need to be in doubt. Even if you don't speak in tongues, it does not matter. These are the two ways, you know. Your speech changes and the love of God is poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. You can come to a place where you cannot hate anybody. And I can say that before God. No matter what they've done in the past, what they've said about my family in the past, and all that, it doesn't matter at all. I can say before God, I cannot hate anyone. Because the love of God is poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And I know that He is changing me every day. Because I see what He's done with my speech. It's not that I don't use abusive language anymore. No, it's more than that. We become gracious. I speak words of grace. Grace must flow from my lips. Not enough that I don't use bad words and I don't use abusive words and I don't get angry. Grace must flow from my lips. Words that I can encourage. You can encourage your partner. You can encourage your children. We have to discipline them and correct them. But if you allow the Holy Spirit free access in your life, this is what He'll do for you. And I pray, don't make it your ambition to get your name on some list. Whether your name is on the list or not, you take this seriously, you'll thank me at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray.